Hi, Heated Rivalry fans. You're listening to Believe in Anything, a podcast where we talk all things Heated Rivalry and explore its impact through conversations with other fans and creatives. I'm Emily.
I'm Danielle.
And I'm Lee.
If it's your first time listening, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. We're so happy you're here.
We've got a really lovely interview lined up today with Francis Dominic. So make sure you stick around for that.
And a little disclaimer, I was not available for the interview because I was sick. So don't think that Emily and Lee have just taken over the conversation. I wasn't there.
And you were very missed. I know. Imagine people are just like, well, Danielle's not speaking. Heated Rivalry highlights of the week. Come on. What's everyone saying? What's the 411? What are the vibes? You can't see Lee right now. You can't see Lee right now, but her hands are over her eyes.
I need a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll go first with my highlight of the week.
Someone else go first.
Danielle.
My highlight of the week, I was torn between two, but I think the more fun one is Dan and Phil, the YouTubers, if you don't know, reacting to episode 5. I haven't watched the full episode reaction yet, but I've seen their reaction to the kiss at the end, and it's pretty hilarious. If you don't know their lore, they're British YouTubers who were in a secret relationship for 16 years. So
wow.
They understand
that
what Ilya and Shane are going through.
They maybe know better than anyone. 16?
Yeah. I think it's about 16, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn,
they've lived together that like whole time.
Sorry, long pause.
Usually like contemplating.
I'm processing. Okay.
Emily needs to learn the law. I'll send you their coming out video when they announce their relationship.
Were people shocked?
Crazy.
Like, was it surprising?
I think we were more shocked that they were saying anything.
Right? That they had even addressed it.
Were they? Yeah. So they made videos and they were just like, we're pals.
They were like reactions. Yes. Well, not a reaction channel, but. They were just YouTubers.
They were just saying they were like best friends.
Yeah. Wow.
It was the age of British YouTubers. What a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll link out to that and I'll have to watch that. Are they doing a reaction to The Cottage?
Yes. They did episode 1 reaction on their YouTube channel and then the rest is on their Patreon. So I'm waiting for them to react to The Cottage before I join.
Yeah. Same. I feel like The Patreon is for people who knew about their lore and not me, who just found out 5 seconds ago. Lee, do you still need a second?
No, I can talk about my highlight, which is not a crazy one, but it was basically two of my close friends went to their respective Heated Rivalry Club 90s nights. And I got a little bit of a recap and they had the best time. And my friend Chelsea, if you're listening, my friend Chelsea, she doesn't listen to podcasts, actually.
Not even ours?
She says she has, which I appreciate. But she went up on stage, sent a video of that, which was so fun.
Amazing.
So that's my highlight is people I know personally getting to experience Heated Rivalry Night. Me and Emily went again on Friday and we talked about it. Or we went this weekend. We had a good time. So that's mine. Just poor people getting to experience Club 90s.
Cutie. I, as we all know, Hudson Mania took over New York again. As someone who lives in New York, it's just like under
with
constant
one eye open.
Fear. Yeah.
Yeah, very much.
The city of 8 million people, still just fear for my life every time I leave my house in a different borough. But worlds collided and Hudson went to Maybe Happy Ending on Broadway and that was incredible.
That's everything.
That's
actually
everything. That's the best, one of the best musicals ever. And also the lore is I have been a Glee fan
forever.
Long time. And Darren Criss is my man. So that meeting was
incredible.
Super something.
Yeah. The pictures posted from that, absolute freakouts.
Yeah.
A lot of all caps, incoherent letters back and forth. Oh my God, I can't believe this happened.
Also,
oh my God,
Hudson
I can't believe
wants
we weren't
to be
there.
Oliver. Like,
please. Literally, that was my first note to you. I was like, imagine imagine, because he talked about he wanted to be on. I'm like, literally, if someone can see on the video.
No, I generally don't even know if he can sing.
Out of my sockets. I don't
know if he can sing.
I'm sure he could. I wouldn't put it past him. I'm sure with some vocal lessons.
I'm sure he's a triple threat.
With some lessons.
With some vocal lessons, why not? Also, Oliver is not like a crazy powerhouse vocalist. So, like, I could see him.
Yeah.
Doing that.
That would be amazing.
That would be incredible. If his Broadway debut was maybe Happy Ending, which is like an all Asian led cast, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. So that was definitely a highlight. But gosh, anything else? We kind of flew by those.
Anything else? I'd say Hudson's birthday fundraiser is a good one to mention. I did just check before we started recording this, and it is at $57,226.
Amazing.
Which is crazy. And we love that Hudson has seen it and appreciates
it. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's... I love when the fandom comes together for something good.
Connor doing, since we're talking about Hudson so much.
Yeah, and...
Connor doing the NBA Cares Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Baby to
Baby. Oh, yeah.
That fit was crazy.
Incredible. But I know we joked. I was like, was he even alive when this was in style? I said that as a joke. It's like the early 2000s.
No, it's so incredible. That was Ilya to me.
I don't think it was Ilya. Oh. I don't mean to. Not to I'm sorry.
It's too early for you.
There was no need for
no,
me to
genuinely,
come out that strong.
Why?
I'm sorry. Ilya, sorry.
No, say it. Say your piece.
I'm in the middle, literally, on the video.
Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. It's not important.
I think it's hilarious.
Maybe it's not Ilya, okay?
I just said, like, Ilya wears, like tight, sexy things. Like, very sloppy.
No,
like,
that's not
a very sloppy accent. That, like, his outfit was 2000s living in LA, which is not Ilya to me. Literally not important. I'm sorry. I don't know why. I needed to.
It's okay. I'm just going to think about that for the rest of the day. Intrusive thought. It's just saying you're wrong.
I'm so sorry. I did not need to do that. And if it reads as Ilya for you, I think that's beautiful.
That's even more passive aggressive.
It's meant to be passive aggressive.
Aw, and if you think that.
I'm sorry.
It's cute. That-
but you're wrong.
I love the way your brain works, and I did not mean for it to sound like that.
Lee, you're on timeout. I wish we could record later because this is not when I'm at my best. But I'm only at my best between like 1 and 2 p.m. So
a very limited window.
You have to catch me in a very short window. Otherwise, it's just chaos. So
chaos is fun.
Yeah, this is forcing me to be a little bit more alive. I say early in the morning. It's 11 a.m. But it feels really early.
But it's a Monday.
It is a Monday.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for saying
You're
that.
You're allowed some grace on a Monday. Yeah.
Some grace on a Monday.
You're going to have so much fun out. Editing this.
We have to talk about our next guest.
Okay. I'm here.
All right. So without further ado, our interview with Francis.
We are so very excited to introduce our next guest. He is a bi-coastal content creator who is constantly providing the best pop culture recs and the most iconic looks on every red carpet he graces. His passion for the things he loves is absolutely infectious. And we are so happy we get to talk about all things Heated Rivalry with him today. So please welcome Francis Dominic.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you. I mean... you are someone people follow for everything Heated Rivalry. So this is going to be an excellent conversation. I just know it.
Yeah, that was all of that happening was so crazy because when I was on Threads, you know, like there's like people. And then I started talking about Heated Rivalry and then the community generated. Mm-hmm. And then so now I feel like we're just in this hodgepodge of beautiful people who just want to connect over something that we just watched on TV.
Yeah. And Threads is just such a nice community. And I feel like a lot of positivity gravitates there compared to other social platforms, potentially.
Right. I feel that way,
we
too.
We won't name names.
I was like, the algorithm is really good on that.
Exactly. Exactly.
The energy is good on there.
Before we really kick it off, can you please share a little bit about yourself and what you like to post about, just for people who don't know?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the introduction, by the way. That was really, really wonderful. So my name is Frances Dominic. My big belief is to live life unapologetically, and the world is already so gray. You might as well live it out loud and in color. And that's what I've led my entire life to. I also am obsessed with movies and theme parks and reading my favorite romance books. I love music, and I love people's energies because I'm such an extrovert that I vibe off of like what people give me. Yep. And so I'm really good on reading people's energies because I'll match it, you know, positively or negatively. But I always try to kill them with kindness. So that's what I hope to do. And I really just want to make sure that I want to show people that you can live as who you are in any kind of space that you walk into, and to encourage people to take space. And so that's essentially like a small bit of who I am.
I think that's a big part of who you are, I would say. And I think you do that very successfully. I know you have a reading account, but so walk us through how you found out about Heated Rivalry, and did you read the books first?
Yeah, absolutely. So I found out about Heated Rivalry when like Hudson Williams had like 2,000 followers and Connor Story had like maybe 5. And I know. So it's so crazy watching them blow up. And I saw one of my friends on Book Talk talk about because Heated Rivalry was announced. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, finally, like a gay show, gay sports romance. Like, that's fun. I've always read hockey romances. I've read Tal Bauer's books, Eden Finley's books. And those were really, really good. Like, they were just fun hockey stories and romances. And then my friend Jacob on Book Talk talked about, oh, I think this is who is going to be cast, who's already cast as Shane Hollander and Ilya Rosanoff. And then it was also pictures on Connor and Hudson's account of how much they've filmed and like bonded in that 30, 35 days that they've been filming. And I remember seeing those posts so vividly. And I was like, okay, now I don't need to imagine who these characters are. And then I decided to read it early last year. And I was like, okay, I'll jump into this since it's becoming a TV show and I know who they look like. Right. And then I absolutely fell in love with the books. It was like straight from Heated Rivalry into The Long Game. And then as I watched the show, as the show's I was begging for the show to come out in the United States on Threads. Like I was on there. When the trailer dropped, and I was just there like every single day being like, oh my God, another day has passed. We don't have a US distributor.
I remember seeing this.
And I was just like, please, someone pick this up. I am begging. Mm-hmm. And then it came into HBO Max, and then the rest is history.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. Can you imagine a world where it didn't, like, there isn't a world where it didn't get picked up?
No, if it didn't get picked up, no.
Yeah,
that would have been
I was telling people, I was like, I would have just paid someone in Canada a Crave Canada subscription, and then like shows are pirated all the time. I would hate to watch a show pirated,
a VPN situation.
But exactly, that would have exactly what would have had to be done. I'm like, there's no other way to consume this ethically.
Exactly. And also the fact that it was pushed up sooner. So there's a world where we would be in the middle of watching the season now.
Right now,
yes. Probably.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because it was supposed to come out late January into February.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah. So we would be watching Heated Rivalry right now.
Right now. Like the rest of Europe. I literally on my feed yesterday, I saw someone post like on their Instagram story, they were talking about they had seen the first or second episode. I remember they were like, okay, now give us the rest of them. And I was like, this is crazy that we exist in a world where people haven't seen this.
Yeah, that they're getting it like weekly. Yet. Oh my God. Someone from Europe was just like, this show's just coming out and now I've been spoiled. And I'm like, it's been out for two months.
It's not really something we can't, like, we have to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but now it got announced to India. It's coming to India, all of India on February 20th. So I'm like, you know what? That is just so, like, their world is just, it's constantly just going and going because the show keeps getting reintroduced to different countries every single time.
Yeah. And the fan base.
That's the beauty of it, I think. It
just keeps growing.
Yeah. And then we're all here in open arms being like, yes. Come
to the cottage.
What were your, so you read the books. What were your thoughts as the show was coming out? Like, were you excited? What were your general thoughts as you were like watching the adaptation happen?
It was so fun to watch something be so unapologetically created on screen and for queer romance to be depicted so well and so taken care of. And it's crazy that they did this in such a small budget, but it feels so cinematic and so wonderful at the same time. And so every week I was like screaming at my phone and typing profusely being like, what was that episode? And reacting to the episode is so fun because sure, the sex stuff is good, but we did not expect that the yearning and the romance was going to keep us, you know? I'm like, Hudson said it best, where you're like, you come in for the hot sex, but you stay for the warm love. And I think that's the perfect way to describe the show.
I love that quote. I love that quote so much of his. It's so real.
Yeah, I was like, Hudson really nailed it. Yeah.
I know you've been you were there in the early days before it even got picked up by HBO. And so when you were pitching it to like friends or family, what was your pitch to get people interested and wanting to watch?
So I would invite them over and sit them down on my couch and be like, hey, have you heard of Heated Rivalry? And they'd be like, no. Okay. But like, I was like, okay, but it's coming out soon and it's really sexy. And I just need you to watch the trailer. And then so I would play the trailer. I swear to Bob, that trailer has played so many times on my TV screen because it was the only thing that we had, you know, was just the trailer from Crave. And besides talking about it, I would be in my Instagram story yelling to just be like, please guys, I'm like, just watch this. And I wouldn't even pitch it in a way. I would just be like, if you love me, you will watch this. So I would kind of hold them emotionally hostage.
Incredible.
To watch this.
No, I think that's a good friend. Because you knew what was best for them.
Thank you.
You knew
Thank
what was
you.
Best for them.
Thank you. No, I truly knew what was best. I like locked in.
And now they're all like, thank you so much, Francis. You've absolutely changed my life. So,
right.
I'd be like, you guys are so welcome. I'm like, sometimes when people don't listen and they're just like, oh, I just started watching your show and I'm obsessed. And I'm like, okay, thank you. But like, where was this energy 2 months ago?
Right.
Glad you're here now, but you should have listened to me in the beginning. Right.
If you would have listened to me from the beginning, then 2 months ago, you would have been where you are.
Yeah, I've also heard some contrarians who are like, oh, if it's popular, I'm not going to watch it yet. And I'm like, what? What is that?
Yeah. And to me, that is just like, so you don't want a community.
Right.
Right.
And it's almost like a defense mechanism in my head to be like, if you don't want to be a part of something and then you're complaining about like being lonely and not having anything to talk about, well, people in your life are telling you to watch this and you deliberately be like, no, I don't want to. Right. Then babe, the call's coming from inside the house.
Correct.
That's that.
Yeah. It's, it's weird. It's weird behavior. Weird behavior.
We had noticed, obviously we've been following you for a very long time. And you started posting videos of you watching some of the episodes live, like at sports bars near you. What was it like being there, experiencing that kind of firsthand? Like, was there a moment where you were like, oh, this is big. This is not just a couple of people watching it at home. Like, this is a big deal.
I love this question because I didn't know those videos were going to go as viral as they went because it just opened up the floodgates of what we have been needing internally when it comes to queer joy, when it comes to human connection, and when it comes to community. And I think it hit all of those notes. A lot of people were watching these shows in the comfort of their home and sometimes just by themselves. But seeing this show be so celebrated in that kind of medium kind of just chemically altered all of our brain cells in a way of like, wait, this can and is bigger than all of us. And being in that room, I was like, okay, so my sports bar started showing it, I think, on episode 4 because not a lot of people were really watching it from episode 1, 2, and 3 since obviously first week was the first 2 episodes, second week was third week. And then again, it started getting traction. And then I was like, okay, let me watch episode 5 by myself and then I'll decide if I want to come to the sports bar to do this. And I watched episode 5 by myself and I was crying. I was like, this is the best episode of television of all time. In my brain, I was like, I need to experience this with people. Mm-hmm. And then so obviously the episode came out at 9 p.m. the day before on Thursday. And then the watch party is always the next day at Friday at 8 p.m. And there was a lot of people who didn't watch the show, the episode on that day. And I was like, I need to get the crowd's reaction because I feel like the last 3 minutes of this episode is literally the thesis to everything about heated rivalry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people love Kip and Scott's story. And then so for getting that reward back and being and they're declared the founding fathers. I'm like, without Scott and Kip's story, we would never get Shane and Ilya coming out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so having that whole moment in that sports bar, even if it was just that pocket, we were all there together, united in this literal, unfiltered queer joy. And it was just so fun to be around where it was like, oh my God, like when the episode ended, we were just at this high of being like, wow. I was like, finally, I'm like, we are getting the happily ever after that we as people should have gotten a long time ago. I'm like, we're still fighting for these stories to be told, you know? And so being in that moment was really, really special and really, really moving. And so moving that it just went bananas after that.
That's kind of when the cast and crew too were like, oh, because they had kind of been operating and like in a silo a little bit and they had seen that like internet reactions. But I feel like that was also kind of the first time some of the cast and crew by watching your video were like, oh shit, like this is big.
This is big. Yeah.
I think it wasn't just for, it was for everybody. Yeah. Like that video led me to friendships with major celebrities in our world. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Like Mr. Pedro Pascal.
Yes, Pedro Pascal is like always in my life.
I love it.
And I'm just like, being perceived by this man is so crazy. And then like knowing that Jacob Tierney cried to that video was really special. And then being acknowledged by Hudson Williams in real life, being like, it's you. And I was like, oh my God, girl, I wanted to die so bad. I'm like, that video really just skyrocketed anything I could have ever expected experiencing this show.
It was beautiful, and I think it made a lot of people feel seen. And I know you were there, it was like a couple weeks ago, or I don't even, time is a construct right now, but it was so sold out that like no one could get in. I know they were like at capacity, and I think you were like my influence.
Oh my gosh, the last episode, the line was out the block. I'm like, people cannot get in. And other bars in West Hollywood started hosting their own watch parties because they couldn't get into the bar that where it was at. And then same case last week. I'm like, the bar was so packed inside and outside for episode 5. I'm like, this episode has been out. Yeah. I'm like,
for weeks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, this is so, so crazy. And so I think it'll have the same thing on episode 6 too, where it'll just be just as packed. But it is just so wonderful to see everyone come together to enjoy the show.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw Kaylin Russo, the one who does Bad Things. She tried to get in and she was like, I can't get into the bar. It's packed.
She's like, it's my song at the end of the show and I can't get in.
Oh my God, I didn't realize. Dude, if I had known, I would have put her in my table. Yep. Oh my God, I wish I would have known. That would have been so funny.
Everyone is just trying to see this with other people.
There's
together.
No better feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, it really is. Community is so special and so needed now. So I'm so glad Heated Rivalry exists.
Exactly.
Same.
What has been your favorite episode or moment to kind of relive during a watch party? I guess besides the end of episode 5, because obviously.
Episode 5? Yeah. I love experiencing. So I didn't get to experience episode 1 and 2 with the public. Mm-hmm. And so when my sports bar did the first 2 episodes, we were all just like, hee hee ha ha. I'm like, we're all watching this together. And so that was really special. But I think nothing tops episode 6, and I love episode 6 so much. I think I replay episode 6 the most because it is such a nervous system reset, because truly, it's so loving, it's so intimate. You get the I love yous, and then you get the acceptance, and then now you're just at this ending of like, well, I'm like, the characters don't know what the possibilities are, but like us as readers know exactly what's going to happen in their lives. And so it's really fun and nice to watch episode 6 over and over again.
Yeah, you're totally right. It is like, it's like a breath of fresh air. And it always chokes me up at the end too, because it's, you can tell they didn't know for sure if it would get renewed. So it kind of like has a dot, dot, dot ending in a way where it's, it could conclude perfectly. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, imagine a world where that was it.
No, it's so crazy to think about it that way, where it's like, oh, like this crew never thought they were going to come back again. But then they were signed for 3 seasons, but they, right, but Jacob just planned it out perfectly to where like, if they did have to cut it,
yeah,
it would have been perfect right there.
It could exist on its own.
Yeah, kind of. 1,000%.
Well, speaking of kind of jumping into season 2, what scene are you most excited to see?
Trophy scene and plane crash.
Oh. Sorry, just right, it's the combination of the two for me, like in one breath.
And also, yeah, no, fair, same.
I'm like, I just need that to just like, I need trophy scene room to be like, obviously, trophy, like the best, crazy, like depicted intimate scene of all time. And I need the plane crash scene to fuck us up. Like, I need us to fuck us up so bad that we are in a shell of a human for the 6 days that we have to wait until the next episode.
Oh God.
Like, I'm so ready.
I'm sick to my stomach thinking about it.
I'm like, I don't know if you guys saw the thread I posted of like what my dream filming sequence would look like.
No, tell us.
For that part. Well, I was saying, I was like, okay, my dream scenario is actually Ilya Rozanov is leaving voice notes instead of the text. And you could hear the plane crash in the background. So now Shane has to listen to this. But we don't hear we don't hear Ilya listening as Shane does. We just hear the most saddest background music, and then the scene is panning to Shane listening to it with his waterline just fucking, like almost like in a tear bloodbath, and then just like pans closer and closer and closer, and then the episode blacks out, and then we have to wait for next week.
Oh my God.
I'm not breathing.
Wow.
I'm like, not well. Damn. Okay. Oh my God. I'm just like, thinking about
it. The texting is the texting, he did such a good job depicting that. But come on. Oh, Ilya.
Voice notes.
And being like that. And then like, and then you just hear all the rustling in the background. I'm like, girl, that would send Shane Holland in a tizzy. Like, that was saying all of us in a tizzy.
For
so
sure. Oh,
that's my dream baby scene. Oh my gosh. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. That is, I know, it's going to be, if we thought the end of episode 2 or 4 was heartbreaking, that if it ends, if that's the end of an episode, that's going to be rough.
There, it has to be the end of an episode. Like, how are they not going to end it?
Yeah, exactly. And then a lot of people are saying, I'm like, then it pans over to Troy and Harris holding hands. And then the next episode will be about Troy and Harris. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect.
I could see that.
Yeah. So then now we have to wait 2 weeks for Shane to come back to see that Ilya is obviously alive, you know? So I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
the emotional torment is so fun.
Oh, God. That
we love it.
They're such good actors, and it's going to be, I want it so bad, but I'm also like, that is going to destroy us on a very, very deep level.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun.
But book 3, so Unrivaled, what are you kind of hoping to see? Like, what's your dream book 3 of Shane and Ilya's story?
I don't like to speculate what I would want from the third book, because I don't want to be disappointed.
Sure.
And I don't want to guess what's happening. And so I'm letting Rachel just take us by the hand and guide us to the relationship of how they want us to depict Shane and Ilya's story. I just want to see them, spoiler alert for everyone listening, I just want to see them obviously play together, win the Stanley Cup together, and then kiss on the ice together. Yes. Romantically. So I'm like, I think that's easy to expect.
Reasonable.
You know?
A reasonable ask.
But like, how we get there? Oh, girl. I don't know.
I know.
I'm like, all hands on deck, but like, it's just Rachel.
No, in Rachel and Jacob, we trust. But yeah, I'm excited. And I know she said in an interview, like, it's just going to be them together all the time. And I'm like, great. I'm sold. That's all I need.
Yeah, I love that she trolls us, though, where she was like, oh, then maybe I shouldn't actually kill off Ilya. And I was like, girl, what is going on?
Do not joke about that. No, and you know some people took that seriously. You know some people took that seriously.
Yeah, oh, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, this whole experience, I'm sure, of just, like, watching, seeing the fandom grow so much. Like, what has been your favorite thing to come out of your post about Heated Rivalry, whether it's an opportunity or like a friendship or all of the above, the top tier moment for you?
Besides meeting Hudson Williams.
Yeah, that's a win. That is a win.
I think, I feel like that cemented my moment at the podium as like, you know, like people, listen, I'm very grateful to be considered as one of the United States representatives for Heated Rivalry. Yep. I felt like I cemented my place meeting Hudson and getting that opportunity to chat even for a brief moment. But the other things that come with it is just genuinely the connection and seeing such a great, loving queer romance be so celebrated and be so loved out loudly. And, you know, being gay my whole life, haha. But like, I've been out for so long and I've fought for so many queer media shows and movies to be watched. And knowing that the world is loving something that I truly love and genuinely adore from the start of it, it feels very validating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a very dark time in the United States. And so we have to really hang on to the things that give us joy and give us light. And for Heated Rivalry to do that and kind of be the sunshine in the darkness, it's really, really so special to see everyone hang on and increase their will to live because of the connections this has given people.
Mm-hmm. No, that's beautiful.
Agreed.
We're like, that's beautiful. Agreed.
How would you in turn then say, how has Heated Rivalry inspired your life or how has it changed your life?
Yeah, I think it's elevated my life into a point where it's like, wow, we can connect on this immediately and I can tell that you're a good person. Mm-hmm. Okay, Loki, I'm like, so I use Heated Rivalry as a litmus test too, because I'm like, oh, have you watched Heated Rivalry? And when they're like, no, I haven't gotten to it. And then so I'm like, oh, so you're homophobic.
No, for real.
Got it.
For real. For real. Because you're what's like, right, the other option? What else would it be?
Because what's the other option? Like, what are you watching? Yeah. It's less than 6 hours of your time. Mm-hmm. You've spent more on that on your phone every single day.
True.
So what's not locking in?
Right. No scarier excuse. Still is people who watch it aren't like, it hasn't consumed every part of their life.
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, so you watched it and still it
like,
was
were
not,
you on your phone
you?
The entire time?
I'm like, heartless.
Yeah.
Heartless.
But I give people grace. I'm like, listen, sure. I'm just happy that you gave it the views.
Yeah.
Because that's what we need.
At the very least.
And so I'm like, as long as you're in the cottage, you're good. You're in the clear.
Obviously, this has shown Hollywood the importance of stories that, you know, depict queer joy and queer love stories. So what are your hopes for maybe future shows or adaptations and maybe lessons learned from the success of Heated Rivalry that you hope Hollywood take into account?
Yeah, that I'm like, this is truly what everyone has been screaming at Hollywood for, but they just refuse to do it because they don't think it won't sell. They don't think it won't be mainstream. And so I really think it shook them to their core, and they're now trying to acquire all of these movies and films and things that are already made. I'm like, Sundance, like there's a queer horror movie. I forgot what it was called, but the villain is the person that you're in love with. And they're trying, like that entity is like trying to unalive you. And so this movie is just like, oh my God, my crush is literally trying to kill me. And then they're two boys, and then it was immediately bought. And then Girls Like Girls just came out with the trailer. And then there was another gay rom-com that was just picked up earlier this month, too. And so, like, now I'm like, okay, good. I'm like, everyone's waking up to this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we've been yelling at you. We've been wanting to tell you. And then so I think in the next 2 and 3 years, we're just going to see so many projects come alive of unapologetic and loving and really bright queer love stories, because I'm like, the things are already written.
Yeah.
They just have to be adapted.
Yeah.
So we're going to, I think there's going to be a lot of influx in the next few years here for Hollywood.
Oh, let's hope. And is there a story you'd love to see adapted that you're really hoping is next on the list?
They just picked up The Charm Offensive, which is one of my favorite books. Yes. A story to get adapted? Gosh. So there is a book called Carry On by Rainbow Rowell. And it is the book that brought me back to reading in 2017. And so a love story about the most powerful wizard and a vampire together is like my dream scenario. And for that to be adapted into a screen or television show, I think would just be so electric, honestly. Besides that, I'm just ready to absorb whatever kind of movies and shows that are done really, really well. Yeah. And that's all the hope that I can ever have.
I love that.
Same. We love to ask this question. It's a big question. Every time we ask, everyone's like, oh gosh, I don't know what the proper answer. So I don't know that there's a correct answer, but why do you think Heated Rivalry has resonated with so many people?
Yeah. So my answer to this question is because, one, I think for a lot of people in the Alphabet Mafia, I think it's just so wonderful of what love looks like, mm-hmm. and what being yearned for and what being wanted and what happily ever after looks like. And I think it's resonating with people so well is because we are going through so much of life right now that, like, our brains shouldn't be exposed to as many things as we're seeing. And so for a story to take us away and to help live a life through someone else's eyes, mm-hmm. where we don't have to be ourselves for that hour, it's a really nice place to be at too. And I think for a lot of people, it always just comes down to wanting to love and wanting to be loved. And having that moment depicted on the television screen is almost like you're experiencing it as yourself. And I think that's why people resonate with Heated Rivalry so much.
That's beautifully said. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, wanting to be loved is like such a basic need. And I think
it's a human thing.
Yeah. And Heated Rivalry also does such a great job of showing love in like so many different forms too, beyond romantic, family and friendship. And it's so hard to not like feel a little bit seen or feel the love like that you crave while watching it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's called Crave Canada.
That's why it's called Crave Canada.
Oh. Right. The dream.
What other MM books would you recommend to people who maybe want to read more following the Game Changers series, especially before season 2? What would you recommend?
Yeah. I absolutely love Rachel Reed's standalone books of the hockey romance. I think the most recent one was Time to Shine. I think that's one of her best books that she's ever written. And the characters in that book and the story that morphs is so well written. And I'm like, Jacob, I think you have to pick up the standalone books too and like just give them a limited series because they are done so, so well. And I'm so sad they're not part of the Game Changer series because I feel like it would be so easy to just like build a connection. Because since all her books are written in a point of a view of hockey. And so it would just be an easy tie-in.
Yeah.
Other MM books, oh my gosh, all of them? Yeah. Truly? I'm like, the more gay media, the better.
So
we should just link. I think that's my answer for that.
I was like, should we just link to your Instagram, your reading Instagram, and be like, anything on here? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Especially my Goodreads too. I'm like, sometimes I talk more on Goodreads than I do on my book page. And there you'll see all the books that I've read, especially all the gay books I've read and that I will stand by with.
Love it. Do you want to do a fun little game before we let you go?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Let's rock and roll.
Okay. It's going to be a little this or that. So kind of rapid fire. Just what speaks to you first.
Okay.
Okay. Ginger ale or Blue Moon over Brooklyn smoothie?
Ginger ale.
Tuna melt or Shane's Burgers?
Shane's Burgers because Shane.
Yes, Shane. Shane's Loon Call or Ilya's Gym? Woo!
Oh, Ilya's for sure.
Hang out with Hayden or hang out with Yuna?
Hang out with Hayden. I think he's a little bi-curious, you know?
I'm getting that vibe. I'm getting that vibe.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like he would, you know?
Shane's glasses or Ilya's necklace?
Oh, Ilya's necklace. Oh my god. Another scene right. I wanted to pick to right. in the long game.
Yeah.
Oh! Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Stairwell kiss or your boyfriend's here kiss?
Oh my god, your boyfriend's here kiss. Melt.
So good.
Yeah. My boyfriend? I'm like, girl, yes, yeah. She is. Get up. Yes.
Team Europe or Get Up is crazy. Team Europe or Team North America?
Team North America.
Penthouse 1 or Room 1410?
Ooh, Penthouse 1.
Yeah. The Kingfisher Bar or Straw Plus Berry?
Oh, Kingfisher Bar. I get to see Kyle.
Party with Svetlana or get dinner with Elena?
Oh my God, get dinner with Elena, hands down. I feel like she would just heal me.
Yeah.
Same. All the things she said or I'll believe in anything?
All the things she said.
So good. Canada Fleece or Banana Socks?
Oh, Canada Fleece.
A blooper reel or a standalone episode in between seasons?
I know.
Standalone episode.
Yeah. What would you want it? Would you want it to be the chapter with Hayden? Like the
bonus chapter?
The bonus chapter? Or what would you hope to see?
Any of the chapters that she has on her website, on Rachel Reed's website. Or honestly, I'm like, low-key finish the book. I'm like, because technically that's not where heated rivalry ends, you know? So I'm like, just give us two more episodes.
Beautiful.
We'll watch. Don't worry. Yeah. Last one. Sunset scene or sunrise scene?
Sunrise scene.
Yeah. It's a hard choice. Yeah. It's a hard choice.
I love the sunrise.
It's so very tough. Yes.
Because both. The answer is both, obviously. But like,
yeah. I am a night and day person, but like I think there's just something so intimate about a sunrise versus a sunset that it's like the sunrise is everything to me.
Yeah, and especially, you know, what's right before it, what follows. Like it's kind of just a peak scene.
Sunrise peak scene. You kind of just want to live in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, we're like dissecting the fuck out of this show.
Like, guys, just one more year. Then we'll have new content.
Yeah, casually.
Casually, casually.
Who knows? People come on this a year from now.
I mean, yeah, crazy. We're going to have the creations that are coming from this are unreal. But
it'll keep going. Every time someone new discovers it.
Every time it's seen in a different country, we'll welcome people in with open arms, like you said, and then they'll have a bunch of things to consume.
Yep, exactly.
But thank you so, so much for being here. We are so excited you gave us some time out of your busy, busy day. You were just on a red carpet last night, and now you're here. We're honored.
Insane.
Yeah, the duality.
The duality of man.
Yes. I was like, we got to keep going.
But please tell people, I'm sure they are, but if they aren't, please let people know where they can follow you and find you online.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, my name is Frances Dominic. Thank you so much for listening. My name is my username, except at the end, there are two I's, and I am all over social media because I feel like that's how we connect with each other nowadays. So hope you find me there.
Yay. Thank you so much. Yay. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you're following along.
We also have recently made a TikTok account and a YouTube channel. So subscribe, leave us a review, make it nice, please. We're sensitive. And say hi on all the social medias, Instagram, Threads, at Believe in Anything Pod.
See you next week.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.